Gather today to worship Him, to encourage one another in the will of the Lord. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Psalm 122, the 122nd Psalm. We'll read verses 1 through 9. Psalm 122, beginning at verse 1. A song of ascents of David. For those that are familiar with the Psalms, you know when it gives that title, a song of ascents, Jerusalem was on an elevated piece of ground, and so it often in the Bible it refers to people going up to Jerusalem simply because it was that elevated location. And these were psalms and hymns that were sung by the Jewish pilgrims that went up annually to the annual feast to worship Jehovah. And so this is part of that collection of psalms, a song of ascents. Verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, Jehovah. to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good, the good of Jerusalem. In this psalm, David is expressing his great joy in being able to go up to Jerusalem and participate in these annual feasts of celebration to worship Jehovah. Just to be there, just to have his feet in Jerusalem, was a joy to David. He expresses a number of reasons in this psalm of why it brought him so much joy and why those annual gatherings in Jerusalem were so important to the life and the well-being of the nation of Israel. He uses this psalm to express his joy and the reasons for that joy and the importance of this kind of gathering to worship Jehovah. Now, obviously, David's words are specifically referring to the worship of Jehovah under the law of Moses and in Jerusalem. And we can't ever forget that context of this psalm. He's speaking of a literal place, Jerusalem, and those feasts that were ordained under the law of Moses. We understand all of that. But I do believe that there are some principles here that are found that are important for us to imitate and to apply to our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ in this church age. So I want to consider how some of these principles apply to us. It is good for us to be able to assemble ourselves together again this morning in Jesus' name. I miss you all. God created us as social beings. He made us that way. We need one another, and not just in the religious setting, not just in the spiritual setting, but just even in natural things, we need that human contact. And we've seen the negative impact on our children and on adults alike because of the pandemic that has demanded such isolation. It impacts us in a negative way because God didn't create us to be islands to ourselves. We need one another. That's true just in our daily life, but it's even more true and more necessary and more essential that we have that human contact in the spiritual context. Because when we gather together in Jesus' name, and that's always the context of what we're talking about of this kind of gathering, it's in His name, as His people, for the sole purpose of worshiping Him and encouraging one another in the ways of the Lord. When we gather in Jesus' name, it is necessary for our spiritual health and well-being. Not just our natural, that's part of it, but more important because it has to do with spiritual and eternal things. I do believe that this necessary time of separation during the pandemic has been necessary and prudent. But that doesn't mean that it has been without cost to us spiritually and physically. And we need to be aware of that so that we might begin to guard against any lasting damage that might have been caused because of this necessary and prudent time of separation. We live in a day when Christians believe that it's no longer necessary or important to gather as we are gathered here this morning in a local assembly, in a Bible study type setting or a worship type setting where the Word of God is presented. Most of God's people, many of God's people today feel that's no longer necessary. That's something of the past. And we have other ways of doing things today. And this pandemic has only made that dangerous mentality more prevalent, I'm afraid. And there is damage to in some assemblies that is irreversible. And for us in this assembly, in this local assembly, if we're going to avoid that kind of lasting damage, we need to remind ourselves why we do this. Sometimes coming to church is just a habit. I believe it should be a habit, but not just a habit. We should understand why we gather in Jesus' name. We should understand its importance. And this psalm that David wrote, I believe, will help us to do that and avoid any lasting damage that might have been caused by our temporary separation. It's important that we gather in Jesus' name. Some Christians today feel like just social gatherings as Christians fulfills that responsibility, but it doesn't. I enjoy good Christian friendship and enjoying things outside of church that have nothing to do with reading the Bible or studying the Bible. I need that. God created me that way. I enjoy that. But that's not what we're talking about. Gathering in Jesus' name as the people of God, as just as David and the Jews gathered in Jerusalem for the sole purpose of worshiping God and encouraging one another to continue to walk and to glorify God with your daily life. That's why we gather. That's the kind of congregation that we're talking about, not just a social event as Christians, but coming together as the people of God to worship God. So let's look at each of David's thoughts in this psalm and see if we can't find some examples in his attitude and his actions and his understanding and his exhortations that we can and should follow in our own worship of the Lord Jesus Christ in this local assembly. So verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. How many, when you received the email that we were going to start services again, how many had that kind of reaction? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The first thing that we notice is David's attitude toward attending these annual feasts held in Jerusalem. And for many Jews, they had to travel great distance, and traveling that day was not easy. It was at great expense just to be there in Jerusalem. And yet for David, it was not a chore for him to attend these times of worship, but they were something that he looked forward to. Our attitude towards the local assembly and the worship services and the Bible study, it matters to God. Just to be present and to stand in Jerusalem was for David something that thrilled his heart, because he knew that it was in Jerusalem that God had placed his name, that the very presence of God was there. And just to be where God was important to David. It thrilled his heart. Going to church today for some of God's people is something that is looked at as an unpleasant chore or obligation. But the local assembly is where God has commanded his blessing for his people. Let's turn to Matthew 18 and verse 20. These kinds of gatherings in Jesus' name, here we read that Jesus commands a special blessing of his presence. Matthew 18, 20. Jesus said, for where two or three are gathered together, how? Drinking coffee? Playing goofy golf? I like to play goofy golf, is why I said that. No. Gathered together in my name. I am there in the midst of them. Jesus, of course, is always with every believer. Jesus' presence is not isolated to a building or a location, as it was under the law of Moses, where his presence, that Shekinah glory, was was in the holiest of holies in Jerusalem. That's not true now in this church age. Jesus is with every believer. However, Jesus promised that there's a special blessing of his presence when we gather together to worship him. Psalm 133. If you believe that these promises are true, then you'll begin to have the same attitude toward assembling yourself together with God's people that David had. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Here in Psalm 133 in verses 1 to 3, we have another song of ascents. One of those songs that were sung by the pilgrims as they traveled that long and hard distance to get to Jerusalem. Psalm 133 verse 1, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. Oil in the scriptures is symbolic of the Holy Spirit and his ministry. Brother Freestone in his prayer called upon the Lord and asked for that anointing of the Holy Spirit and the moving and working of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Coming together in Jesus' name is an opportunity for us to have that anointing oil in our life. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. When we gather, as we are here this morning, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a time of refreshing. That dew that falls, that spiritual dew, it gives us what we need to produce spiritual fruit in our life, that we might leave from this place and go and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. But that special blessing is found when we gather in Jesus' name in unity with the sole purpose of worshiping him and ministering to the needs of the body of Christ as the head gives direction, as the Lord Jesus Christ gives that direction. There was a time when believers would travel great distances just like the Jews did to attend a camp meeting or a fellowship meeting at great expense, just for the joy of being with God's people. Our attitude matters. May it give us great joy to have our feet to stand. David said, just to have my feet stand in Jerusalem. What a blessing. Just to have our feet stand in the local congregation. So it's talking about the presence, to be there, to attendance matters. Every opportunity that God gives you to be a part of that kind of meeting, it should thrill your heart just to have that opportunity. In verse 3 of our opening text, Psalm 122, verses 3 and 4. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Jerusalem was built to be inhabited. It wasn't built just to be a beautiful city. It was built to inhabit God's people, inhabited by the tribes of Israel, and to be the center of worship. That was what it was dedicated for. That's where Jehovah said, I'll put my name. The temple, of course, was in Jerusalem. And in the holiest of holies was the Ark of the Covenant, sometimes referred to as the Ark of Testimony, because within that Ark, there were the two stone tablets of the law. That's what they call the testimony. So when David says we go up to Jerusalem before the testimony, that's what it's saying. We go up before the law. We go up to hear and to know the revealed will of God for us, for Israel. That was the law of Moses. And that gave David joy to know that's where he was going and why he was going. The place where a local assembly of believers meet is to be a place set aside. It is dedicated for the purpose of coming to hear and to know the Word of God. The whole counsel of God that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, that's God's testimony to us in this church age. That's why we come here. Again, we enjoy the fellowship, as was noted with the conversations and the visiting that took place before church that I had a hard time putting a damper on. We enjoy that. That's a part of it. But that's not why we're here. We're here to stand before the testimony. We're here to stand before the Word of God, because that's God's Word revealed to us. The revealed will of God for Israel was the law, but for us, it's the message of God's grace as revealed to the Apostle Paul. The same message that Paul taught the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Or in the context of our psalm, the testimony of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. When we have a revelation of this will, when we understand the word of God and what God has purposed for us in this life and in eternity, then we see why not only does it give David joy to come together for that reason, but he also comes to stand before the Word of God and to give thanks. I thank God for the revelation of the grace of God that is given to me in the Word of God. When I stop and think about the privilege that I have had to hear this grace message all my life, what a privilege I have had. What a responsibility I have. But what a privilege. I don't know how I could face life without knowing what God's will is for my life in this life and in eternity. But thank God I know. So I come and stand before the Word of God and I give thanks to God for His Word. Psalm 119. This is the verse that we always have on our opening slide on the display. Psalm 119, verse 162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. It's no wonder David rejoiced in ascending up to Jerusalem to stand before the testimony and to worship God and to thank him for that revelation. Back in Psalm 122, verse 5, for the thrones are set there for judgment, talking about Jerusalem, the thrones of the house of David. That's where David's throne, he ruled from Jerusalem. And the reason that God placed him on the throne over Israel was for God's glory and the good of God's people, to govern them, to protect them, to lead them, to guide them. That's where the throne of David was. But it wasn't just David's throne. God placed him there. It's where justice and government took place, governing the affairs of the nation of Israel. How does that apply to us? The local assembly is to be a place where God's word is proclaimed to have authority in our life, to govern us, to protect us. It's not a man, it's not the pastor, it's not the preacher who has a throne to rule over us. But saints, we do have an authority. The pastor's responsibility, my responsibility, is to simply proclaim what God has declared to be his will for us in this life as we prepare for eternity. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, that is teaching. The Word of God has a right to teach us how to live and how to think. Some people think the grace of God is a license to do whatever you want, that God just turns his head and doesn't see or care about what we do. The Word of God is given to us that we might have teaching. It's profitable for reproof. It has a right to say you're wrong. People don't like to, I don't like to be told I'm wrong. But the Word of God has a right to tell me I'm wrong. And I need to acknowledge that authority, that throne, not in Jerusalem, but in my heart, the Word of God. It has a right to correct us, not only tell us you're wrong, but this is how you do it. For instruction in righteousness, to teach us and show us from the beginning, this is the way. This is what the Word of God is for. The Bible. Why? Oh, that we might serve a tyrant. Is that why we acknowledge the authority of the Word of God over us? No. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is why David rejoiced when he stood before the testimony of the Lord. This is why we should rejoice to hear the Word of God, to have the privilege, even when it cuts us, even when it stings, to know that God loves me enough to do a complete work in me, to make me ready for Jesus when He comes. Psalm 122, David now exhorts others. He gives reasons for his joy, but now he exhorts others. In verses 6 through 8, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. David prayed for the peace and prosperity of Jerusalem because if Jerusalem was strong, if Jerusalem was prosperous, it meant that there would be a government that would protect and provide for the needs of the people. If Jerusalem stood, the nation of Israel would be safe and strong and prosperous. Saints, we need to pray for the peace and prosperity of this local assembly. Not take it for granted. People, over the years, there have been many people come and go, and some are grateful for the fact that this assembly is here and that the grace message is being proclaimed, and yet they have had no commitment to see to it that this assembly prospers, not by their presence, not by their support, and they don't realize. I could point to example after example over generation after generation of churches that proclaim this same message that are now closed and no longer have a light because many of God's people fail to pray for their peace and prosperity. Pray for this assembly. Pray for me as the pastor. Pray for the board members to make the right decisions, especially as we are in this transitional period where we're trying to find the mind of the Lord of where He wants us to be. Pray. Make it a matter of prayer. Don't just assume things are going to be all right. Pray for us. Pray for this assembly that it might prosper. Why? So that Brother Doug can have a big, prosperous church? No. That God's people might be fed, that there would be opportunity, that there would be a place where people that have a hungry heart to know more of God will have a place to come and to be fed, to be encouraged, and then to go out into their life and to spread that same grace message everywhere that they go. Pray for the prosperity. The spiritual prosperity, the spiritual fruit of this assembly. May peace be within your walls. So now this gets a little more personal. Strife and division in a meeting can destroy a meeting and snuff out its light of testimony. Again, I point to example after example. Pray for peace among God's people. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. This is something that we must do. David in his psalm was exhorting his fellow Jews, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Here the Apostle Paul is exhorting us in this church age, in the local assembly. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them. Why? Oh, because you just love their personality. No. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And then notice the last part. Very similar to David's exhortation. Be at peace among yourselves. Why? For the good of God's people. For the good of the Word of God that has opportunity to reach others. When there's so much strife and divisions, it's all about people's personal agenda. and opinions, what they want to do or don't want to do or don't want done. But may each of us, myself included, first and foremost, as the pastor, may we set aside our will and put the will of the head of the body first. What brings him glory and what is for the good and prosperity of the local assembly. David concludes this psalm by promising to always seek what is good in the best interest and in the best interest of keeping Jerusalem safe, sound, and prosperous for the sake of the temple where God's people come to worship. I will seek your good, Jerusalem. Verse 9 says that, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good, Jerusalem. Because the temple is there, because that's where the testimony is, because that's where the presence of God is, I will always seek what's in your best interest, Jerusalem. That was David's attitude. Saints, may we always seek the good of this local assembly, where God's people gather for the purpose of learning more of his word. We seek the good of the local assembly with our attendance. David sought the good of Jerusalem because his feet stood there in Jerusalem. Your attendance matters here this morning. It's an encouragement to others. It gives even those who are not saved, your friends and neighbors that either see you get up on Sunday morning and head somewhere, you have opportunity to tell them eventually in conversations, I go to church every Sunday. Or your co-workers, when they ask you, well, what do you do on the weekend? I go to church. Oh, why do you do that? To give thanks to God for his goodness. It matters to have your feet in the local assembly. Not so much a specific location, but a place that has been set aside for God's people to gather in Jesus' name to worship him. Hebrews 10:23. We know the passage, but let's read it in this context so that we understand that this is important. Our society is changing rapidly. The church is adapting themselves to changing society. And a part of that adaptation is, you know, we don't need to go to church like that anymore. May we understand this is God's will till Jesus comes. It's important, and it's something we should be thankful for. How many over this last month when you couldn't come realized, I miss it. There's something missing in my life. I hope that was your response, because it was. Again, necessary for a time, a limited time. But may we understand just how important this exhortation is. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's what we're doing here this morning as well. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the
manner of some,
but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Saints, I don't know about you, but when I look about what's going on in our country and around the world, and I know every generation before me has said this since Jesus died on the cross, but I don't know how Jesus can tarry any longer. His coming has to be soon. But whether he comes in my lifetime or not, I know he's coming. And I want to be ready. And the day is so much closer than when I started out. I can't believe I'm 62 already. Started preaching when I was 18 years old. And I preached the coming of the Lord in those early sermons. But I believe that coming is so much closer today. I don't want to neglect the things that bring him glory or that make me ready for his coming. May we be able to say with all of our heart, like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because we understand the value of such gathering in Jesus' name. We'll close this morning by singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Sing it unto him this morning.